D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Adam Vingan, David James, and I guess I didn't get the memo that it was Take Your Kid to Work Day, because Connor Newt.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Sitting in for Willie and Derek today.
Yeah.
Both of them.
I can legally drink, so I'm not a child, but I appreciate it.
You're a child to me.
At heart, I'm a child.
But I'm glad that you're here. I'm looking forward to today's show. I also have a bit of a running list of all of the people I've hosted shows on this station with, and now I can cross Connor Newt off that list.
There you go.
That list includes, of course, Willie and Derek, both Robbie and Rex Road, both Chase and Big Joe, Jake Frazier, and Teron Davenport. And now you.
Yeah. It's like what was that scene in Billy Madison where he's crossing off the list of everyone he bullied and he gives the guy a call? That's what you have now, just for hosting.
Well, I'll never co-host with Jared because I would get about 5 words in over the course of 4 hours. I don't know how Caroline did it for as long as she did. But I'm glad to cross another name off the list. Connor and I are going to have some fun today. Since there's no Force Company this weekend, we will allow you to do, and by we, I mean me, will allow you to do Newt's Notes today.
Oh, God.
So Newt's Notes will happen in the 1 o'clock hour.
I don't think you know what you're unlocking. But.
Well, you know what? It's the last day before a long holiday weekend. People don't want to think too much. They just want to relax. They're not really paying attention at work.
They want Newt's Notes.
They want Newt's Notes. Absolutely. By the way, David James, happy 24-year anniversary of the NBA Board of Governors approving the Grizzlies' move from Vancouver to Memphis.
Let's go, Grizz, baby.
Big day.
So big day for David James.
I love it. Just so happy they're there and not in Nashville.
So we will discuss the Titans. We will discuss the Predators. I'll probably shoehorn some sort of Joey Chestnut thing in here.
Yes.
As he prepares to re-enter the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But I do want to start with this, Connor. There is a question on the mind of a lot of Titans fans. We are roughly 3 weeks away from the start of Titans training camp, thank goodness. But there is a question that a lot of Titans fans, have been asking since the moment the Titans officially drafted Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. Are the Titans going to ruin Cam Ward? Look, the Titans franchise, specifically the Titans franchise, it's a graveyard of quarterbacks. Your Jake Lockers, your Marcus Mariotas, even your Vince Youngs, right? Like, it just hasn't, for whatever reason, worked out when it comes to drafting and developing quarterbacks with this franchise. And I think there are a lot of Titans fans who are concerned that Cam Ward is going to be the next quarterback on that unfortunate list. And I want to highlight a story that was written by Nick Suss in the Tennessean with the headline, "Afraid Tennessee Titans Might Ruin Cam Ward? Here's precisely how to avoid that awful fate." And I don't know Nick Suss, but I do read his work. And one thing I do appreciate about Nick Suss is he and I are sort of kindred spirits in the sense that we love to dig into the numbers and calculators. And I know that Jared is probably snickering right now because when Jared does impressions of me, there was one texter who texted in the other day and said, "Why do you make Adam sound like he has a serious sinus infection whenever you impersonate him?" Because Jared does this like stereotypical 1980s movie nerd voice, like nah, 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 whenever he makes fun of me.
And
Jared, I am a nerd. I'm okay with that. But okay.
Jared's voice is like 8 octaves higher than yours, so don't worry about it.
You said it, not me, my friend. But Nick Suss, he dug into the numbers. It's really interesting. The lead of his story, quote, "Let's stop wondering about the NFL's most important question and actually put some effort into answering it. The Titans invested their number one pick in the 2025 NFL draft in quarterback Cam Ward. That made him the 130th quarterback selected in the first round of a draft since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. And let's be honest, Suss writes, the league's track record on these picks isn't that great. Only 11 of the 129 who came before Ward won Super Bowls for the teams they started their careers with. Heck, less than 40% of first-round quarterbacks have even won a playoff game for the organization that invested its future in them. For every Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman, or Peyton Manning, there are plenty more Andre Ware's, Jim Drunken Millers, and Paxton Lynch's. So what can the Titans do to ensure that Ward ends up more like Dan Marino than Dan McGuire? And Suss created an equation that assigns value to how good each first-round quarterback drafted from 1970 to 2024 was for the franchise he began his career with. Now, I don't want to get too technical, Connor. Again, it's awful nerdy. I love this stuff, but I don't want our listeners to think that I'm about to teach a lesson in advanced statistics. But it is a really interesting read, and if you subscribe to the Tennessean, I suggest you go and read this story from Nick Suss. Now, some of the results are unsurprising. Winning is good and losing is bad. Right. We all know that. We don't need an algorithm to tell us that. But there were some interesting points in here, Connor. One of the most compelling arguments based on Suss's research was this, quote, firing a head coach before or during a quarterback's second season leads to brutal results.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an automatic death sentence. Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff are recent examples of quarterbacks who turned out pretty well in spite of coaching changes between their rookie year and year two. But the graveyard of names also includes recent cautionary tales such as, oh boy, this list makes me sick, Rex Grossman, Daniel Jones, Joey Harrington, Brandon Whedon, Blaine Gabbert, Josh Rosen, and Paxton Lynch. So, how do the Titans avoid ruining Cam Ward, Connor Newt?
Don't fire the head coach midseason.
That is one part of it.
I've been preaching this for months, and if I have to roll out the tape, I will. The Brian Callahan is forever tied to Cam Ward now because he is his quarterback. He is the quarterback that he drafted, or his regime drafted. I don't think Brian Callahan specifically drafted Cam Ward, but unlike Will Levis, who Brian Callahan did not draft, Cam Ward is fully in the hands of being developed by Brian Callahan. By firing Brian Callahan, you diminish the confidence of Cam Ward, and that is starting the road to ruining a potential number one, or not potential, he was number one, ruining your potential franchise quarterback. Don't fire the coach. Now, if it gets to the point where, you know, you're 1-7 and Cam Ward isn't showing any progress and, you know, he's got more interceptions than touchdowns or something like that, then I think we can have that conversation. But I don't think anyone expects the Titans to be good this year unless you're convincing yourself otherwise, and if you're doing that, you are insane. If the Titans are, let's say, have won 3 games through 10 games, or have 3 wins through 10 games, and Cam Ward is good, like he has 2,000 yards passing and 10 touchdowns and maybe a pick, then I would keep Brian Callahan. Because, obviously, to me, this season is not about wins and losses. It's not. This season is about developing Cam Ward and developing your young stars in J.C. Latham and Peter Skoronski, and on the defensive end, Jarvis Brownlee, or all these young guys, because I think the Titans are looking at the same thing I'm looking at, and that's to 2027, when this new stadium opens. They want to be as good as they possibly can when this new stadium opens so they can have this national spotlight, so they can have more money thrown at them to get better and to contend in a Super Bowl in their own stadium or be in a national Saturday or Sunday night football live from the new Nissan Stadium. That's just my 2 cents. I think the key to it is Brian Callahan for not ruining Cam Ward. If you don't invest in him, to me, you're not investing in Cam Ward.
Wes in Clarksville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Mike Vrabel will ruin Cam. He's going to get Brian Callahan fired. I know a lot of Titans fans that are anti-Brian Callahan have that game against the Patriots circled on the calendar as perhaps Brian Callahan's final game with the Tennessee Titans, because we saw what happened the last time an ex-Tennessee Titans player whooped up on the Titans, that being A.J. Brown. Next thing you know, John Robinson out the door. Jeff on our text line says, I think Nick's numbers are a bit sus. I see what you did there, Jeff.
Good one.
The conclusion that Nick Suss came to during doing his research for the Tennessee and was, quote, if the Titans want Cam Ward to thrive long term, or if any team wants a rookie stud to turn into a generation defining star for that matter, the best path is to play Ward early, to let him make mistakes, and to send him into year two with as much coaching continuity as possible. If he gets his reps as a youngster, is able to learn from his shortcomings, and heads into his second season without having to learn new schemes, there's a pretty good chance that leads to good results. It's not a perfect answer, but it is an answer.
Bingo.
So I do agree with you on the Brian Callahan point. Now, I've referenced this a few times, and I hope I'm remembering it correctly. I believe 5 of the past 7 quarterbacks drafted number 1 overall had their coaches fired in season during their rookie years. It just happened this past season with Matt Eberflus in Chicago. Urban Meyer is on that list. That is a special case. Would have been Frank Reich, right, in Carolina with Bryce Young. Jared Goff was on that list with friend of the station, Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher fired during Jared Goff's rookie season with the Rams. If I recall correctly, the 2 quarterbacks who don't qualify are Kyler Murray and I want to say Baker Mayfield. That might not be right.
Joe Burrow.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Baker Mayfield's coach was fired. That would have been Freddie Kitchens, right?
Yes.
So it was Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray. Those were the 2 of the out of the 7 who made it through their rookie seasons draft after being drafted number 1 overall with their coaches still intact. So Wes in Clarksville follows up and says, seriously though, best way not to ruin Cam is they've got to fix that offensive line and have them play way better than the last 3 seasons. That does go hand in hand, of course.
Yes.
And on paper, and I emphasize that part, on paper, I do feel better about this offensive line with the addition of Dan Moore and J.C. Latham moving to the right side. You hope for another year of growth from Peter Skoronski. The question mark, however, is at center with Lloyd Cushenberry. When is he going to be available, and how good will he be when he becomes available? So that's a big question mark on the offensive line that I think gets overlooked. But I'm all for Cam Ward starting week 1 and taking his lumps. If he gets beaten up a little bit, so what? That's how people learn. Like if I am Brian Callahan and the Titans front office, I am not babying Cam Ward.
Right.
You go out there and take your lumps. And week 1 on the road at Denver, here is your requisite altitude comment here, but also the fact that the Broncos have a great defense, led the NFL in sacks last season, have the reigning defensive player of the year in the secondary. Take your lumps, kid. Like, look.
We had texters on our weekend show, or maybe we were filling in for Jared one day. Regardless, we had texters saying, let's just sit Cam Ward for the first 2 games of the season because that may be too hard for him coming in. Welcome to the NFL, pal. I mean, this is how the NFL works. You don't learn by not doing. By sitting on the bench and watching, who are you going to throw out there? Will Levis, you cannot throw out there. Brandon Allen, you're going to throw out there and expect to have results. He's not going to learn much by watching Brandon Allen. I'm just going to tell you that. By throwing him out there, and yes, he is playing in Denver and maybe one of the toughest places to play in the NFL against a tough defense, he's going to learn. He's going to make mistakes. It's a good defense. It's his first NFL start. He's not going to be perfect. And if he is, then wow, that would be very impressive. But he's not going to be. So stop with all this, you know, we got to sit him and develop him, because that's just not how it's going to work. Would I have preferred them to bring in a Tyrod Taylor or a Joe Flacco or someone just for Cam to sit behind and learn for a little bit? Sure. But we're not at that point. The Titans have invested in Cam Ward at number 1. He's going to be the starter, And by being the starter, he has to go into these tough places and deliver. He's going to make mistakes, but I think the positives will outweigh the negatives. And I sound like Titans Twitter right now, so if Jared's listening, he's probably laughing at me. But
you know what? Will Levis had a perfect NFL debut.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota had a perfect NFL debut.
Do not throw four touchdowns in your debut. It's cursed.
Yes. Look at where those games got them. Jay from Laverne says, shoot. He did not say shoot. He said another word. Shoot. A lot of quarterbacks sat for a year. Well, Jay, that's a good segue, because coming up next, in Nick Suss's article, he dispels some myths about young quarterbacks that he found doing his research. One of which is what Jay from Laverne just texted about. And we will get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your confidence in the Tennessee Titans not to ruin Cam Ward. We'll continue this discussion coming up next. 615-737-1025. But before we do, this week's Nashville's best deal is Tzatziki's. Craving something fresh and flavorful? Tzatziki's has you covered, from juicy chicken kebabs to perfectly grilled salmon. Every bite is bursting with Mediterranean goodness, and don't even get us started on the homemade sauces and dressing. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan and Connor Newt here with you today. Willie Donick and Derek Mason out. Getting a longer July 4th weekend. I know you are all excited about an extra day off, as are we, since we won't be on the air tomorrow. But we are discussing Nick Suss's article in the Tennessean with the headline, "Afraid Tennessee Titans Might Ruin Cam Ward? Here's precisely how to avoid that awful fate." And before the break, Jay from Laverne texted in and said a lot of quarterbacks sat for a year. Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers. And this is a popular talking point, Connor, about how good quarterbacks don't start right away. And one of the myths that Nick Suss's research dispelled was, quote, "There's not a strong connection between redshirting as a rookie to, quote unquote, learn the ropes and starring in the future. It worked for Rodgers, Mahomes, Rivers, Carson Palmer, Dante Culpepper, and the like. Not so much for Brady Quinn, Rich Campbell, J.P. Lossman, and Jake Locker." And Suss writes in the article, "This is a bit of self-selecting sample. If a coach deems you good enough to start in week one as a rookie, chances are you're pretty good. But in a world where Mahomes, Rodgers, and Rivers are dazzling examples of how valuable it can be if you make a talented quarterback wait, it's important to also consider the Canton-bound success stories of Manning, John Elway, Bradshaw, and Aikman, as well as more modern successes like Joe Burrow, Stafford, and Matt Ryan, all of whom started from the jump." So,
right.
I understand that. I know that Jared, in particular, he's obsessed with Tom Brady. Let's just be honest.
Well, he is Tom Brady.
He is upset. Oh, I forgot about that. Fortunately,
he's gonna love me when he comes on at 1:40.
I mean, Jared did say that if Tom Brady farted into a fragrance, he would buy it.
Oh my God!
So we do have the clip of that somewhere in case you missed that. He did say that, and although Jared has forsaken the Patriot way, he still loves him some Tom Brady. And Tom Brady sat, and Tom Brady became the greatest quarterback of all time. As Jay from Laverne texts back in, Steve McNair. Yes, Steve McNair also sat to learn the ropes. But it feels, Connor, that those days are mostly gone.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to quarterbacks taken with the number one overall pick. I remember citing this statistic several weeks ago. I'm hoping I'm remembering it correctly. 10 of the past 12 quarterbacks drafted number one overall have started week one of their rookie seasons. Now, I remember Jared citing that and saying, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard." Well, it's a fact. 10 of the past 12 quarterbacks drafted number one overall have started week one their rookie years. And barring something completely unforeseen, Cam Ward is going to join that group.
Yes.
In a few months.
It's going to happen.
So I understand that you can point to many examples. As Nick Suss said, I think he said it well. It's a self-selecting sample. You can point to examples of Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers who did not start right away and have engineered Hall of Fame careers. You can also look at Peyton Manning, who started right away and has engineered a Hall of Fame career. So you can find examples of both. I think personally that the days of quarterbacks, especially those who are drafted high, the days of quarterbacks sitting behind a veteran, they're largely over.
I think what we're not factoring in here, and I'll use Jay's examples, Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith, who was a very good quarterback. Tom Brady sat behind Drew Bledsoe, who, before an injury, was a very good quarterback. Aaron Rodgers sat behind, none other than, why am I blanking on his name?
Brett Favre?
Brett Favre, yes. I don't know why I just blanked on Brett Favre, but Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre, who is a Hall of Fame level quarterback. Do the Titans, to you, have a Hall of Fame quarterback on their roster that Cam Ward is going to sit behind and just become God's gift to football?
I can't think of any.
Brandon Allen, sure. No, there's not a rostered quarterback that I feel you could sit Cam Ward behind and he would learn something. If I think Nick Suss put it best. If you are a rookie quarterback and you are given the trust to go out and start immediately, chances are you're a pretty good quarterback. That said, I think Cam Ward is the best option the Titans have on their roster. And because of that, they need to focus on him this season. Don't worry about wins and losses. If you're 1-16, that's okay as long as Cam Ward is having a season. It's not wins and losses this year. It's just not.
One texter says, Big Ben was undefeated 12-0 as a rookie. Don't know why this guy never gets mentions with the all-time greats. But he didn't start right away, did he?
I don't believe so.
Would he have been behind former XFL MVP Tommy Maddox? Is that possible?
The old XFL.
I'm looking at the first game of the 2004 Steelers season, just to double check. Yep, Tommy Maddox started that game. So
Vince's boy. Oh, Vince.
One texter says, Dustin says, this is how much faith I have in the Titans not ruining any quarterback. I think Levis could have been great. I truly believe we ruined him. The Titans could send Ward to Denver to develop under Sean Payton, sitting 1 year, playing 1 year, then take him back year three, and they'd still regress slash ruin him. Look, there isn't a sterling track record of success when it comes to the Tennessee Titans and developing quarterbacks. We get it. So, Titans fans, you have every reason to be skeptical.
I mean, to steal a phrase from the other team in Tennessee that wears orange, they have BTS, battered Titan syndrome.
Mm.
So, it's okay to have that.
I did find this story written in April by Jacob Robinson of The Athletic. How often is the first quarterback drafted the best in the class? We checked 25 years of history. And his research showed, quote, over the past 25 years, the first quarterback drafted has become the best pro 40% of the time.
Wow.
Starting in 2000, when Chad Pennington was picked well before Tom Brady, only 10 times did the first quarterback drafted become the best passer in the class. And Jacob Robinson used both subjective reasoning as well as objective metrics. The past 12 years are bleak for number one quarterback prospects like Cam Ward. Only four quarterbacks, a hit rate of 33%, were both the first drafted and the best pro. And the four that qualified were Trevor Lawrence in 2021, Joe Burrow in 2020, Kyler Murray in 2019, and Jameis Winston in 2015.
I would say it's accurate. I mean, you look recently, last draft, Caleb Williams was taken number one overall. Right now, I wouldn't say he's the best quarterback in that class. Look at Jaden Daniels, who was taken right after him.
Let's see what Jacob Robinson found. Yep, in 2024, Caleb Williams, first quarterback drafted, best pro or best quarterback, Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
In 2023, Bryce Young, first off the board, best quarterback, C.J. Stroud. 2022, Kenny Pickett, first off the board, best quarterback, Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep going down to 2018, Baker Mayfield, first quarterback off the board. Best quarterback, either Allen or Jackson. Mitch Trubisky in 2017, best quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Now, I don't know what that says about Cam Ward, but it just speaks to the volatility of drafting quarterbacks. It's hard. It's hard to identify in most years who the best pro is going to be at the quarterback position. Now, Jacob Robinson mentions that between 2008 and 2012, the first quarterback drafted ended up being the best quarterback. Matt Ryan in 2008, Matthew Stafford in 2009, Sam Bradford in 2010, Cam Newton in 2011, and Andrew Luck in 2012. But then right before that, you had Jamarcus Russell going first.
Oof.
Trent Edwards ended up being the best quarterback. I don't even know who Trent Edwards is.
I don't remember that one.
Vince Young in 2006, Jay Cutler, according to Jacob Robinson, was the best quarterback. Alex Smith in 2005, first off the board. Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback drafted in 2005. So I'm not exactly sure what the correlation is, and even Jacob Robinson of The Athletic mentions that. There's just so much uncertainty about the quarterback position. So history suggests that Cam Ward may not be the best quarterback. I think he will, almost by default, when I think about some of the other quarterbacks who were drafted, like Tyler Shuck and Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, like I don't see them competing with Cam Ward for that title this year. Let's see. Yes, one texter confirms it was Tommy Maddox. Tommy Maddox got hurt and Ben Roethlisberger came in. One texter says it has to be about wins and losses because jobs are on the line. Now, that's an interesting point because, as Connor said earlier, and I agree, wins and losses should be secondary this season compared to the development of Cam Ward. Let's say the Titans win 5 games. That would be a 2-win improvement over last season. Let's say Cam Ward starts all of the games. He gets out of his rookie season unscathed. He wins 5 games. There are going to be a lot of people who don't watch the Titans, as you know, who will talk about the Titans and say, well, Cam Ward only won 5 games, so he must have not done so great. But if Cam Ward looks like he has what it takes to be a franchise-caliber quarterback, even if the team wins only 5 games, I will accept that this coming season.
I would too, because that's how I'm looking at this season. And I think the Titans would accept that. If Cam Ward...
But will Amy Adams Strunk and Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi accept that? That's the question.
That is the question. But if I'm the Titans, and obviously I'm not, I understand the sentiment that Brian's job is on the line if he doesn't win X amount of games. I would argue if Cam Ward goes out and throws, let's say, just throw random numbers out there, 3,000 yards and 25 touchdowns and maybe 3 picks, has an electric season, competes for Offensive Rookie of the Year, and that the Titans only win 5 games, I would argue Brian Callahan's job is safe.
So Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated did this exercise a few weeks ago. He had 100 bold predictions about the 2025 NFL season. And bold prediction number 51, Cam Ward will put up the following numbers during his rookie season: a 63% completion rate, 3,124 passing yards, 18 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 225 rushing yards, and 3 rushing touchdowns. How would you feel about that? Hearing those numbers.
I'd say it's a good season. In fact, it's a great season, but it's not perfect, and that's exactly what I expect.
If he has those numbers and the Titans win 5 games, I will accept that.
Yeah.
I will.
I would argue, hey, let's cut down on the interception numbers a little
fair,
bit. But
fair.
You also got to look at who he's throwing the ball to. I mean, Calvin Ridley is a good target, but other than that, Van Jefferson, Alec Aomanor, Chimray Dike, you know, guys like that, Treylon Burks possibly, I doubt it, but there are things that factor into interceptions more so than just the quarterback threw a bad ball.
615-737-1025, your thoughts on Cam Ward. Any and all thoughts on Cam Ward. A lot of interesting data from Nick Suss of the Tennessean, as well as Jacob Robinson of the Athletic. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, we've heard from a Titans player who a lot of people are worried about this coming season. And then I read something on the Titans website that sort of surprised me. And we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. 1025. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trintix's Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org.
Minden alum LeJarius Sneed was back in town this past week. After winning two Super Bowls with the Chiefs, the former fourth-round draft pick was traded to the Titans. He spent his first season in Tennessee sidelined due to injury, but Sneed says he's ready to get back to business.
I'm healthy. I'm healthy as I've been. You know, last year, my first year didn't go as planned, but, you know, it's time to come out and, you know, show the world and show what God's been instilling in me this entire year. I'm ready to get back on the field, and that's my life. That's what I do for a living, and I missed the whole year, and, you know, everybody, I have to remind everybody who LeJarius Sneed is.
That was, of course, LeJarius Sneed talking at his football camp, I believe, in Shreveport, Louisiana. We haven't heard much from LeJarius Sneed. He's been in the news for an alleged incident at a car dealership in Texas late last year. But, Connor, a lot of questions about LeJarius Sneed, his health, the legal situation, how available he's going to be for the Tennessee Titans. And I don't know how I stumbled across this, but Jim Wyatt, by the way, happy birthday to Jim Wyatt. I saw that on X/Twitter. So happy birthday to the wonderful Jim Wyatt.
Yes.
Jim Wyatt does a mailbag where Titans fans write in, ask questions. And we know that Jim works for the Tennessee Titans. So I don't know how it always works, but when you work for a team, there's a certain amount of editorial control that team might have. And of course, you do have to walk the company line a lot more, obviously, than if you report on a team independently. But I thought this was interesting, Connor. Jim Wyatt was asked a question in a mailbag late last month about LeJarius Sneed. I believe the question was about cutting LeJarius Sneed. So Jim Wyatt answered it this way, quote, "The Titans are not going to cut Sneed. Sure, the team needs LeJarius to perform for sure. I know coaches are counting on him. But I'll be honest, based on how things have gone so far, it's hard to get your hopes up too much because he just hasn't been able to practice and be available.
Oh,
to
Jimmy.
Me, it kind of feels like he'd be a bonus at this point." This is Jim Wyatt on the Titans website answering a question about LeJarius Sneed. "To me," meaning Jim, "it kind of feels like he'd be a bonus," meaning LeJarius Sneed, "at this point." That caught my eye. Jim Wyatt answering a question on the Titans official mailbag in such a manner.
Jimmy, wow, I'm impressed, but I agree with him 100%.
As do I.
I mean, has LeJarius Sneed gone out there and shown you anything proving that he is the same corner he was in Kansas City 2 years ago?
No, and I somewhat vividly, two words that don't typically go together, I somewhat vividly remember the game against the Dolphins, the Titans' first win of last season, when Tyler Huntley was starting at quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, and that's when Will Levis got hurt, injured his shoulder, Mason Rudolph came in. That game sucked, man. I wasted hours of my life watching that game.
Felt like years.
That I'll never get back. It did feel like years when you get the B team on the Monday Night Football doubleheader. But I remember a couple of long passes from Tyler Huntley to Tyreek Hill that if a competent quarterback had been throwing that ball, Tyreek Hill would have burned LeJarius Sneed for at least one, if not more, touchdowns.
Right.
So that's whenever I think about LeJarius Sneed's season, I think about that for whatever reason. That Tyreek Hill, who of course, arguably, maybe not arguably, the fastest player in the NFL, just burning LeJarius Sneed. And the only thing stopping Tyreek Hill from catching those touchdown passes was the fact that he had Tyler Huntley throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
So that's my image of LeJarius Sneed from the, five games we witnessed of him in a Titans uniform. But you're right. We did not see anything close to the LeJarius Sneed we saw with Kansas City.
I mean, it's just interesting. It does feel like a bonus because, first off, he spent most of last year hurt. And then when he was, like you said, he was getting cooked on by good receivers. Tyreek Hill, you know, now I'm losing. In the Bears game, it was DJ Moore. the list goes on and on. But he just hasn't proven that he is the number one corner you paid him to be. He hasn't stayed healthy. He hasn't stayed consistent. It does, like, it just feels like a bonus.
I would absolutely agree with that. I just found it interesting that Jim Wyatt, who again works for the Tennessee Titans, did not attempt to even put a positive spin on it. I thought that Jim, just based on the fact that he receives his paychecks from the Tennessee Titans, may look for that positive spin. But even Jim Wyatt said, based on how things have gone so far, it's hard to get your hopes up too much because Snead just hasn't been able to practice and be available. To me, it kind of feels like he'd be a bonus at this point, which is a problem when you consider what the Titans paid to acquire him in the trade and then paid him to sign.
But here's the thing. They kind of need him to be on, to be healthy and even to perform, because look at the corner room that they have. Roger McCreary is a decent slot, but hasn't shown anything that he can be a top guy. Jarvis Brownlee showed some flashes last year, but he's due for a sophomore slump. We'll just say that. You lose Chidobe Awuzie. Other than that, your corner room, your secondary is extremely thin. Mike Brown, maybe. Other guys that come to mind, I don't really have any. But the Titans need L'Jarius Sneed to be healthy and to have a bounce back year, because that's the future of their corner room. They don't have investment in that. They didn't bring anyone in that comes to mind. Their entire secondary future is pinned on Jarvis Brownlee Jr. And as far as safeties, you have Amani Hooker and maybe Kevin Winston if he pans out. But they just don't have any hope in that area of secondary and corners and even safeties. It's just they need L'Jarius Sneed to step up and be healthy and perform.
One texter, Mo, says, let's not forget Michael Pittman caught a touchdown on him with a bad back. I do remember that. I believe it was a jump ball in the end zone.
It was.
For Michael Pittman. I believe that was the only touchdown that L'Jarius Sneed allowed as the nearest defender last season. But this sort of goes to the conversation we were having about Cam Ward. Cam Ward can't control the defense. Now you're hoping that Cam Ward doesn't put opposing offenses in advantageous positions as often as Will Levis did by turning the ball over so much.
Right.
But the defense was, I'm trying to remember the stat. It was from CBS Sports. The one thing that I had always been wondering all offseason was the Titans, I think, finished second, I want to say, in yards allowed per game, but 30th in points allowed per game. And I think it was CBS Sports said that's the first time since the 1960 Chicago Bears that a team finished in the top three in yards against per game and the bottom three in points allowed per game. By the way, in 1960, I want to say there were like 13 teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
So much easier to pull that off than with the 30-plus teams in the NFL right now. The defense was a disaster. And if L'Jarius Sneed is not on the field, there are still a lot of questions. He just adds another question mark. So Cam Ward may only win 5 games, let's say, next season. But it may not be his fault, because the defense can't stop a nosebleed.
That's why it comes down to, it's not about wins and losses to me, because I don't think the Titans have the talented roster enough to get those wins. All these people you see on Twitter, maybe they're just Titans fanboys, and some of them slip into our text line. Oh, the Titans are, there's no way they lose, you know, 14 games again, which may be true, but then they spin it into, you know, the Titans are going to go out and win 10, 11 games and make the wild card, which is just, it's just not realistic with the roster they have as a whole. I just can't look at it and think, you know, the Titans are competitive again. It's just not realistic to me.
Yeah, I look at this Titans season coming up. We're going to get into the Predators a little bit in the next hour. With the Predators, I think they need to show significant improvement, because as one of the older teams in the league, after what happened last season, the signings they made in free agency last summer, they were a colossal disappointment. They need to win sooner rather than later to justify everything that Barry Trotz has done. I don't see that with this Titans team yet. I want them to take steps forward. I don't want them to be as nauseating of a watch every Sunday as they were this past season. By the end of the season, honestly, Connor, I would have the game on at home, and I would be paying attention, obviously, but it was also sort of background noise. Like,
yeah.
Like there are so many other things I'd rather be doing right now than watching the Titans get bludgeoned by the Detroit Lions or the Buffalo Bills or what have you. So I'm hoping for more of an entertaining product, but I am not going to put as much pressure on the Titans to win this coming season as I may in seasons after. So we'll see what happens, but I thought that comment from Jim Wyatt on the Titans website about Snead was fascinating just because it's coming from the team reporter. Usually you don't see team reporters tell it like it is like that. So I did find that to be interesting. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we're going to switch gears into the Nashville Predators. We're about to switch into off-season mode with the Predators. I mean, it is the off-season, but the draft is over. Free agency is really over. The Predators aren't going to make much news over the next couple of months. So before we sort of shuffle the Predators off to the side for a little while during the summertime, there are a couple of things about the team that I want to discuss coming up next, starting with two players who had awful seasons last season and how confident we are that they can bounce back. Connor and I will discuss that coming up next at 615-737-1025. Tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis. Pre-game begins at 6:20 and the first pitch is at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.